would you like to accumulate property wealth through relationships? Dr. Alan Lomax will tell us how to do it. And I'm so excited to have Dr. Alan. He's a psychology professor and founder of Steed Talker Capital, where he guides novice capital raisers into co-GP roles through a structured fund of funds model. And he provides access to vetted deals, legal infrastructure, and mentorship to help capital raisers scale into ownership with clarity and confidence. So, Dr. Alan, tell us more about how can someone accumulate property wealth leveraging relationships?
Property Wealth Strategies podcast with Lily Patrashku shares world's most influential property investors, sharing their strategies for making money with property.
Well, that really is the core of everything that we do at Steed Talker Capital is building relationships, because that is the foundation of developing wealth. Well, like you said, I have been a psychology professor for over 30 years. Organizational systems psychology is my specialty. I started investing in real estate in the late 1980s and was doing pretty well until 2008, and I lost everything. At the same time, I lost my university position. So believe me, that was a dark time, and it took a long time to come out of that. And during that time, I realized I came to a lot of realizations. I had to confront a lot of things, buried trauma from childhood, the shame of growing up gay in an environment where dyslexia was not recognized, and came to terms with all of that. And it really wasn't through in a therapist couch. It was in the corral with a horse, and his name was Doc. And through that experience, I realized that it's presence, not technique, and it's presence, not force, it's presence that forms relationships. And so that really was the founding of my coming out of that dark time, and really the roots of everything that I do today.
Thank you. Tell us more about how someone can optimize their relationships, and what role does charisma play into it? Or is there another characteristic of your personality that you need to leverage in order to create amazing long-term relationships that translate into cash?
Well, I think there are five things that are foundational principles. And it isn't charisma, and it isn't a special kind of personality. It's something that all of us have and that all of us can develop. First, it is presence. It is getting to that present moment in a quiet place where we can go inside and go internally, and we can understand, first of all, who we are, and we can understand the power that we have within an abundant relationship. So clarity begins with that pause, and that's really what I learned from Mac. And relationships, second, is relationships. It's wealth building is not transactional, it's relationship building. And that's the only way we can build sustainable wealth, is through building trust, coming into relationships as the genuine people that we are, and basing everything that we do upon that solid place of genuineness and trust. And then the third is that control is just an illusion. And we can't time the markets. And like all farmers have learned centuries ago, you can't control the weather, but you can control where you plant and what you plant. And in building wealth, that's what we need to look at, is really where we are planting, what we're planting, and look at that through the long haul. And then the fourth is building mutuality in everything that we look at in terms of investing. Are we investing in something that is bringing value to the communities in which we're investing? Is it bringing value to the operators? Is it bringing value to us as the investors? So there's that mutuality and connection. And then the fifth is peace of mind. And if you want chaos and panic, put all your money in the stock market. If you want peace of mind, you want to invest in real assets. And of course, real estate is one example of that. It's not the only one. So those are the five things.
Thank you. Tell us more about mutuality. So I found that every time I'm building a relationship, especially with really influential people, and not only, the thing that you can say breaks the ice from zero to becoming a superhero in their eyes and to building a relationship fast tends to be offering something of value rather than looking at what you can get personally from what they have. And that has been my number one operating way, you can say. And it's like I don't do this as a strategy to win. I just do it because I think it's the right thing to do. But I do think people can leverage it as a strategy to build great connections. And I think it's important to kind of like have like this internal reference point of just being a kind, great person. And when you have that, I think that people tend to see you genuine and to see that you're not out to just get. You're not there to like take advantage of them. You're not there because you're just looking to see how you can profit from somebody else. And because you're set up in that way, because you're coming, you can say in a way to support whatever they want. Okay, you're bringing value to them. You're looking at them in the sense of like not what I can profit from you, but how can I help you? How can I support you? How can I be of service? And then when you kind of like ask them this question and they are open to this idea, then they will be open, and everybody needs something. And there's always a way that you can contribute. There's always a way you can add value. Tell us more about whether you agree with this, or there's a different way that you prefer to kind of break the ice and to build a long-term relationship. And how do you even start getting going there?
Well, I think you laid it out perfectly there. I think the key thing that you pointed out there is a strategy. You know, we can have mutuality without really developing any kind of strategy. And my dad was really a perfect example of that. I mean, he was a servant leader all of his life, and he served people all of his life. And well, from that, he developed close and good and supportive relationships. But he never really learned how to develop that or to strategize that into a strategy to strengthen and build his networks, or to even think about using that as a tool to develop his wealth. So we can have mutuality, but we need to have, like you mentioned, we really need to have a strategy in place to do that. And that just comes down to learning really kind of the basics. We need to learn how to market. We need to learn how to structure systems so that our businesses run in an efficient and organized manner. And we need to have all of those things in place in order to be able to put, which I think many of us have, that naturally occurring desire for mutuality. Humans are relational animals. I mean, we're herd animals from the core of our DNA, and we strive to have supportive, good relationships and mutuality in everything we do.
Thank you. Tell us what needs to be in place for an investor to give you money when you're raising capital for a property investment project? How can you leverage that relationship in order to, continue whatever project you want to have in property? And what needs to happen? What needs to be in place? What are the kind of things that investors are likely to look at? Is it that they evaluate you as a person? Is it that they're evaluating you alongside the project itself? What's important in this?
The most important component is, and this is with really 100% of our investors, is they are placing their trust in me as the capital raiser, and I do not take that trust lightly. And in fact, we have a full program in place to ensure that our investors know what they're doing in terms of the investing world. We have a complete onboarding process that we take them through and mentor them through the entire process of understanding what private placements are and how those different from the stock market. What is the potential value there? What are the potential earnings? What are the structures of a basic due diligence, of a basic private placement, which is, of course, syndications based, generally speaking, upon LLCs? Well, how do you understand that whole entire structure? And what are the legal documents involved in that? And what is it that you need to understand in those legal documents, because there's tons of legalese, but what do you need to know in all of those documents before you sign your name to it? So we take every investor through that process before we take a penny from any of them.
Thank you. Tell us what needs to happen on a personal level for someone to give you money for a property project.
In terms of them personally, in terms of their finances, what's the question there?
So, what would an investor analyze when, let's say, if an investor was to give me money for a property project, what would they be looking at? Would they be looking at, can I keep a small promise first? Would they be testing me on small things before they would kind of like entrust me with a bigger thing? What would they look at that would analyze my personality, for example, my character, my ability to repay or whatever it is? What would they be looking at from a personal standpoint?
Those are excellent questions. And so, of course, they're going to look at my track record. They're going to look at me and look me in the eyes and just ask, well, are you a trustworthy person, a trustworthy individual? And then they, of course, are going to want to know who else has invested with me, and do we have referrals that they can go to and talk to, and what kind of returns and results have we had? It's in some respects it's like when you're contemplating a romantic relationship. It's so much of it isn't intentional. We like to think it's all logic, but it never is. It's all emotional and it's all intuitive. And so much of building relationships in business, even though we want to think it's all based on logic, it's really all based upon emotion.
Thank you. What else needs to happen for someone to increase property wealth through relationships?
Well, you have to be able to commit your capital to the relationship. And so wherever you're at on that scale, if you're really looking at private placements, you really need to have developed some wealth. You need to have investment capital in order to do that. For instance, almost always the minimum investment is $50,000 in most private placements. if $50,000 is all you have, this probably isn't the place for you, because you need to have really much more resources than that. You need to have built your capital up before you really go into investing in private placements. Although that is changing with the advent of blockchain, and we are bringing on that technology, and we can go into that in more depth, but essentially that does open the door for much smaller investments and much more liquid investments. But typically, historically, it's been minimum $50,000, and you really need to have at least, you know, $500,000 in order to start investing in private placements. But blockchain is changing that.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
The best place is at my website, and that is Steed Like the Horse, and Talker, like I'm doing now. One word, steedtalker.com. And there, I'd be happy to connect with any of your listeners for a complimentary clarification talk to see if private placements are the avenue for them. So 15 minutes free for all of your viewers and listeners. And so that's at steedtalker.com.
Thank you.
Follow me for more property wealth strategies.